In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, last week we had a lot of serious things to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it was a serious week. There was some serious things going on. Why so serious? Because sometimes it's necessary.
I can understand that, yeah.
Not because you want to, like, mutilate mouths or anything.
No.
That's never happened.
No, that's not a...
You know,
it's not a good plan.
So, but when we do things serious, when we have serious discussions, I know at least whenever I deal with anything serious, I have a tendency to try to do jokes within the seriousness.
Okay.
I mean, I can look back. We're coming on to, it's almost been 9 years now since my mother passed away.
And has it been that long? My God.
Yeah, it'll be 9 years in February.
Holy
smokes. It has
been
that long. In some ways it doesn't seem like it has been, but in other ways it's a lifetime away. I mean,
yeah.
my oldest child was shorter than me then, and he's not now. he didn't have a mustache, and he has that kind of wispy mustache that teenagers get now. And he can eat more than me. When did that start happening? Point being, My mother passed away on a Thursday. Well, overnight from Wednesday to Thursday. I think it was around 3 a.m. But mm-hmm. Whatever. She passed away on a Thursday. Family started kind of coming in to see her for the last time and to have kind of a little celebration of life for her, because she would never have wanted a funeral. That wasn't her style.
Yeah. I could see that for sure.
And they started pouring in like Friday, Saturday, and whatnot. And literally by Saturday, I was making jokes. My two younger sisters were making jokes. One of my two older brothers, who were, they weren't technically her children. They were from my father's first marriage, but they still grew up around her, and she
right.
was a secondary mother figure to them. One of them was a little bit shocked and aghast at us making jokes already of our mother having died. But the part that validated us, that made us feel okay with it, was the fact that my dad was laughing at the jokes, and not because he didn't like not because he didn't love my mother, not because he was happy that she was gone. He was completely devastated. It's just, this is the way we deal with any kind of seriousness, any kind of tragedy, any kind of adversity.
Right.
My family finds what we can for humor in it. It's not taking it seriously. It's not, you know, making fun of it. It's trying to find what levity we can in life, because life throws everything at you. If you can't find a way to, you know, be able to find some humor and amusement in the things, it may not be immediately. It may take some time. And the thing is, again, knowing my mother, the way that we all knew her, she would have appreciated us trying to have put the best spin on things and have the best, you know, experience with it possible.
Oh yeah.
And I would hope for the same thing. I mean, when I die, I want a party where everybody's eating hamburgers, drinking beer, listening to Metallica, and telling funny stories about shit that I used to do. That's what I want. I don't want people sitting around weeping and crying and whatnot. I want people, the hamburger thing is like key. I want just a big table filled with frickin' hamburgers, and just everybody eat as many hamburgers as they can comfortably eat. And just realize that this is the exact situation I would want everybody to be in. This would be heaven, sitting in front of a table full of hamburgers and just go to town on some hamburgers.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, remember me that way, laugh, smile, there may be a tear in there, maybe not, but, like, be able to at least say, you know, you remember this funny, stupid thing that he would do? And, you know, anything that anybody would consider a phrase that I would regularly use, just throw it out there, you know, just because that's the way I want people to remember me. I don't want a bunch of weepy, cry people. I want people to think of any time I made things happy for them.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I did that, but still, that's what I would rather be remembered for.
Of course,
so,
man.
Since we were serious last week, I was trying to think, and I was thinking all week, what could we come up with? What could we talk about? And I couldn't. There's a couple subjects we do have for people listening. We do have a couple subjects in the works that have some degree of seriousness, and some of them we need to discuss in a serious manner. Not not serious like last week, not to the heavy degree of last week, but they are things that we do need to approach in an appropriate manner and be careful where we put levity in. And understood. I wasn't quite ready to do those. I need to do some research on them. One of them has to do with the role-playing game Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
Which is one of the topics we have to be a little more careful on the way that we handle it, because it deals with a societal issue that it seems weird that this societal issue has worked its way into this specific gaming community
right.
in the way that it has, but
really?
That's why we need to be careful with it. Yeah. It's very strange. And I've just kind of cracked the lid on this. I need to open it completely and do the research before we really can come to the table on it. And then there's some stuff about video gaming, which is right down our alley, especially down your alley.
Yeah, that
definitely. We're going to be talking about. But I didn't feel any of those would give the proper kind of, again, levity that I'm looking for, the kind of just fun. And so I thought, what have we done on here that's fun? What kinds of things have we done that's just been pure fun, no real agenda, just having a blast? And I thought back to what I feel in some ways was our great but also failed trivia night that we did.
We had
our trivia night, and the reason I say great but failed is because it was a lot of fun to ask trivia questions, but I did awful. I could not answer a single trivia question.
Okay, to be completely honest. To be completely honest on that, I give you points for even trying, because those questions were impossible. Like 90% of them, no way would anybody that was especially our age get those.
Well, yeah, because it came from a Trivial Pursuit Boomer edition.
Right, yeah. So I was looking for something interesting. I didn't know it was going to be impossible.
I have some knowledge of pop culture from that generation, but not to the necessity that I was needing it for to be able to do that, the trivia questions. So many times, I think I remember, I was like, I don't know, man. I have no idea.
To be fair, I'm not sure how well boomers would fare with most of that trivia nowadays, being that information is like 60 years old. So just to bear with, I'm not trying to make any negative commentary about any particular generation, but I mean, let's be real. That stuff is old news.
So wait, you're not saying that boomers are old and are losing their brains?
No,
I'll say that.
Oh, yeah,
I'll say that.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
I'll say that completely. I'll say that right to them. I regularly say it right to them.
I won't say that at all. I didn't say I wasn't insinuating it. I'm just saying that I won't say that.
Yes, I mean, it's like my father is part of the boomer generation, and I regularly ask him, are all your mental facilities working properly, sir? Are you still being able to think properly, sir? Sometimes he'll post something on social media, and I'll call him and be like, okay, I need to know exactly what you meant, because either you were just being vague, or you've gone over to the dark side, and we need to put a drill into your head and get the bad things out of your brain.
That's fair.
Again, the humor that my father will understand, at which he chuckles and goes, nah, I meant this. I just, you know how I am about writing things. And I'm like, all right, I was just making sure, man, because I was like, do we need to call a priest? Because, I mean, I know how to do all of that. But I am not ordained, so I don't know if it'll work.
It wouldn't mean anything. Yeah,
yeah.
You might just burst into flames. Yeah,
but I mean, does that mean? I mean, I can say it all. Power of Christ compels you, but I'm not really behind it. So I mean, does it work? Is it just the words, or do you actually need the, you know, whatever?
I don't know why.
Anyway.
Okay, so I'm considering the possibility that like an unenthusiastic priest could be a brilliant sketch comedy sketch. I don't know why, like, he comes in for a baptism. He's just like, you got the kid? Yeah, fine. All right. And like, you just, like, not even paying attention, looking at his phone, or like, just not
we
even
need
with,
to work
yeah,
on,
good,
we
good
need to work on
do.
Some like, sketch comedy. We really need to work on some sketch comedy, because, yeah, I can see a bunch of places where that can go.
Sure.
Especially a whole exorcist thing.
That would be great.
The pea soup throw up.
Yeah.
I have so many ideas.
Crawling up the walls and stuff. You're just like, sure, I guess this will work. Whatever.
So many ideas. Anyway, point being, today, we are doing another trivia day.
Yes.
But we're doing it with a little bit of a twist. Now, I kind of decided this at the last minute that we were going to do trivia. So Mike was not really able to have time to prepare to find any trivia type stuff.
Right.
Plus, there is a difference kind of between the way that our households are set up. I have a crap ton of board games, and almost all of them are trivia-based board games.
Fantastic.
Because I'm a trivia nut.
Yeah.
I love doing trivia games. So it's easier for me just to go and open a couple of boxes of trivia games and grab out some questions.
Yeah.
And have questions available. Mike doesn't necessarily have the same availability. He far outranks me in his video games, for instance. He's got, like, what, 400 and some odd video games? What was the number?
I think it counts like 450 or something like that. So far.
And I have like one shelf with video games and then like a CD booklet with video games. So yeah, it's a big disparity in differences, but I have like 50 board games. You know what I mean?
Nice.
So that's where the differences come in.
Yeah,
so
totally.
We're doing this format a little bit differently with our trivia stuff. I have the trivia games here. We have two Trivial Pursuit games and the questions from a Scenic game. The Scenic game I actually just got this weekend at a thrift store.
Nice.
One of those fun finds where you see it at the thrift store.
Yeah.
It's only like $3. You open up the box and for some reason it has every single piece in it. And it's like, score. We got it all.
Hell yeah.
And bring it home to be able to play it. And the Scenic games, normally you have a DVD with it because certain rolls of the dice, you have to use a DVD for it. This is just the cards with the questions on it. And the way we're going to do this format is Mike does not get to ask any of the questions today. Nope. I ask the questions. The questions are on the back of the card, so I can't see them. Mike is going to trust me to be on my honor, which I will be. We are both going to attempt answers at the questions. And that's a question. Should we both answer the same question, or should we get different questions on each card and answer the different ones?
Let's see. Do we have the capability of agreeing?
We can agree on the same answer.
Okay. So if the two of us,
we'll be keeping points.
Yeah, for sure. I'm down with answering the same question because then that instead of like, I don't know, gotcha. I just feel like it keeps the playing field straight. Hell, do you want me to keep score maybe?
You can keep score. I can keep score. We can make sure that we're both matching at the end.
Cool.
So this means Mike, I'm doing the questions again and we both get the chance to answer.
Yep.
Do you have any problems with me asking the questions?
Not at all.
Okay. So to our trivia for the day, here's what I got for you, sir.
Yeah.
We have, like I said, three different games that I've got trivia from. The first one is part of kind of staying true to our brand and what we try to talk about.
Yeah.
Trivial Pursuit, totally 80s.
Oh, hell yeah.
Next one is Trivial Pursuit DVD pop culture. It's basically pop culture. The DVD just means it has a DVD for some of the questions. And finally, the new thing that we found, the Scenic game that we found. This is the one that I think is right up your alley. I would actually be terrified to play the Scenic game with you.
Okay.
Because it might be one that you would actually beat me on.
What?
All the other ones... The Disney one, I'm gonna beat you without a question.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean, you're going down.
Oh, I've Marvel, seen like literally like two of those whole films and completely out of order.
Yeah, the Marvel ones destroy you.
Yeah.
And anything related to heck, I might even beat you in the Twilight one, although I lost that last time I played it, which I'm kinda glad for. I'm proud of myself for losing the Twilight one. And if it's the Harry Potter one that we have, you're toast, bro.
Right.
You're completely toast.
You completely out of touch with Harry Potter. I missed that train.
And again, while I was looking at our Trivial Pursuits, these are the ones you have the best chance against me with, because I know stuff about these things, but so do you. If it was our Lord of the Rings Trivial Pursuit, you'd be dead. And if it was our Star Wars Trivial Pursuit, everybody would be dead.
Right.
I actually have to, when we play the Star Wars Trivial Pursuit, I actually have to basically win the game twice before I'm allowed to win once.
Wow.
When I'm playing
okay.
with other people because I'm just that good with the Star Wars one. I just know too many Star Wars things. I'm
understood.
Way too much of a nerd.
Understood.
All right, sir. So your choices will be for the questions. You can choose the 80s, pop culture, or the music. And then I will, once we get, I pick a card, you get to pick categories off of each one of those.
Okay.
So what's your first one going to be for us?
I think I'm going to go with the 80s.
I knew you would. Okay. We have, let's see, there's a life category, TV category, movie category, music category. What are you? SNL, and I'm not sure what that category is, and WC, not sure what that category is.
Whoa.
But you can pick one. Sports and Leisure is the SNL.
Ah, SNL is Sports and Leisure, and the other one is WC?
All right. I think Water Cooler.
Oh, interesting.
Like Water Cooler Talk?
Yeah, Water Cooler Talk. Oh, cute. Okay. There was, I'm sorry, there was movies, there was music, there was,
TV.
Television.
Life. The Sports and Leisure and the Water Cooler Talk.
Let's do 80s television.
What detective show starred Jack Warden as Private Eye Harry Fox Sr.?
Harry Fox Sr.?
Yeah.
Jack Warden. I'm not even familiar with the actor Jack Warden. You might be, but I'm really not. 80s television series as a Private Eye.
Yep.
And there's not multiple choices there. It's just straight one answer. Okay. Because so you just got to state what it is. As a Private Eye. You know, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say something like Night Court.
And my answer is going to be I have no clue.
Okay. I'm just guessing because I don't have a clue. So I'm just like, maybe that one.
Okay. Crazy Like a Fox.
I don't even know that series. What the hell was that? When did that series end? In 1982?
I don't know, but it was in the 80s.
How many seasons did that have? Three?
I can find out for you later. So that is a 0 and a 0. This is looking like our last game night. All right, Mike, next one.
All right, I'm what's choosing next? The next category.
Yes, 80s or pop culture.
Ah.
Or music.
Let's do pop culture.
Pop culture. All right, your categories are then pop culture. Movies, TV, music, sports and games. Buzz and fads.
Buzz.
What actor's first name means cool breeze over the mountains in Hawaiian?
What the fuck? Okay.
I have my answer written down, sir.
Oh my goodness. In Hawaiian? And this is the 80s pop culture.
No, this is just pop culture, not the 80s.
Oh, this is general pop culture.
Yes.
Oh. Cool breeze over the mountains in Hawaiian. Actor or actress?
Actor.
Actor. First name, right?
Yes, his first name.
I don't know. Hell. I've got nothing, man.
You sure you got nothing?
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, the answer I'm going to submit is Keanu Reeves. That's my answer, personally.
Okay, verdict?
The answer is Keanu Reeves.
Really? Wow.
Thing is, yes, I've known that since like the 90s.
I didn't even know that. Hawaiian.
I'm
trying to sit here and think of Hawaiian actors. I'm like, who the hell...
Well, he's actually Canadian, which is funny. But,
oh, that's funny.
But my mother had friends, back when I was younger, my mother had friends that were from Hawaii. And they had, they gave me a Hawaiian nickname, taught us a whole bunch of words, and they told me that Keanu Reeves was a Hawaiian name. And then I also had another friend as an adult who was Hawaiian who also told me. So, he wasn't Hawaii, he was from Hawaii. But he was a howley. He was a white boy. So, all right. So I actually scored a point. Yay for James!
I have a point written down for you, sir.
Next question. Which one? 80s, pop culture, or music?
Let's go with the third one. Music.
All right, sir. You need to pick. You have three colors to choose from.
Okay.
Green, orange, or yellow?
Let's go with green.
Many Rivers to Cross, Sitting in Limbo, and Shanty Town are classic reggae songs from the 1973 soundtrack album that largely introduced the sound to the world. Name the album.
It's a soundtrack album?
That's what it says. 1973 soundtrack album with the songs Many Rivers to Cross, Sitting in Limbo, and Shanty Town.
Oh my
and this
goodness.
Would have introduced reggae to the world.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Reggae. I'm trying to think. Reggae. Reggae is younger than first generation ska. God, I took a world music course and they didn't say what the album was. Although it's been like 8 years since I took that damn course, so it's not like I can remember. But Hawaii was like literally the Pacific Islands were the last region that we studied.
A reggae is not from the Pacific Islands, it's from the Caribbean.
I'm sorry, I meant the Caribbean. But we did end on the Pacific Islands for some reason. I don't know why I mixed those up. That's horrible of me.
I mean, we just talked about Hawaii with Keanu, so.
I think that might have been where my brain was, yeah.
I'm letting you know right now, I have no flipping idea.
Introduced reggae?
Yes, and it's a soundtrack album.
I really don't know. Like, I'm lost. That is super stumping. I'd rather right. Find out what the answer is and sit here and drag it out. What is it?
The answer is The Harder They Came. Or the Harder They Come. Sorry, The Harder They Come. I guess
so. Is that
so.
For a film?
It's not one I'm familiar with.
Interesting. I would say I'd have to look that up, but I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to end up with.
Anyway, all right. You want me to just do this as you've been doing it? 80s pop and then music? You want me to run it like that?
Yeah, let's go. 80s pop culture music. Yeah.
Question. So you have to pick the life question, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, and water cooler.
Let's do life.
Who did Ronald Reagan ask to lead the team that greeted Iran's former hostages in West Germany?
What the hell? How am I supposed to remember something like that? I got nothing, man. Is this like a cabinet member that he was supposed to send off? Or
I don't know. My guess is Shirley Temple Black.
Oh, good guess.
Yeah, you remember when she became a government official?
She was an ambassador. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the only thing I could. That's the only thing I could come up with that would make sense. I mean, Ronnie was a movie star. Maybe he sent Shirley Temple Black. That's
right.
The one that made sense to me. So nothing for you?
Nothing for me. But I can't say that after you said what the answer is. That's just not fair.
No, that's not the answer. That's just my thing. So.
Right. But no, that's a good guess. I've got nothing, unfortunately.
Wow.
Who?
Well, here's the answer. This shows you how maybe different the world was back then.
Yeah.
How people could maybe act in a bipartisan manner back then.
Who'd he send?
Jimmy Carter.
Wow.
Former President Carter at that time. Well, he's still former President Carter, but he would have been just directly former President Carter. Wow. Yeah, that's something.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I never would have thought of that one.
Yeah, me neither. But that's awesome because he totally would do that. He totally would do that.
Okay, so in the pop culture, you have movies, TV, music, sports and games, buzz or fad.
Let's do movies.
It would have been funny if you'd picked the fad one.
I was almost thinking the fad, but
huh?
I was almost thinking fad, but
I'll ask you the fad one because we're both going to get that one right.
Okay.
Damn, there's a bunch on this we would have gotten right. So for the movie question,
okay.
Who played Peggy Sue's philandering husband in Peggy Sue Got Married?
Wow, I never saw that movie. I don't even know how old it is.
I remember the movie. I'm probably thinking of the wrong movie when I'm thinking of the actor, because I know he was in another movie that had the word Sue in the title, but I still think he's in this movie. So
I'm just going to throw out, Tom Selleck was more of a TV guy than film, but I'm going to throw out Tom Selleck.
Okay, you throw out Tom Selleck. My guess is Jim Belushi. I know he was in the movie Curly Sue, but I think he's in this movie too.
Okay.
So the answer is, Nicolas Cage.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's that thing. The music question, what band is actor Jack Black front? I mean, if you don't know that, right. I'm a little angry with you.
Yeah.
And then for the fad question, what was the name of Mario's ape-napped girlfriend in Donkey Kong?
Pauline.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, and of course, Tenacious D. So,
of course.
Yeah, we would have both been okay with those ones.
Yeah.
All right.
Pauline shows up in the new Mario game Odyssey, actually. She's the mayor of the town that he lives in, of the city.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Thought that was
all
fun.
All right, so we're in the music scene. You have your green question, your orange question, your yellow question.
Let's do orange.
Orange. According to the late 80s rap hit by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, What group of people just don't understand?
Parents.
Parents, you're right.
Yep.
Parents just
don't understand. Wait, did you answer that one?
That's my answer for it, and then the answer is, of course, parents.
All right,
so I knew what the answer was, just like you knew what the answer
was.
Yeah,
I was like, come on, man. All right, so you are 2 and I am 1. So far after our second round. Second round through, 2-1. That's good. I've kind of enjoying this so far, man. This is fun.
Okay, so back to the 80s. We have our life. We have our TV. We have our movie, music, sports and leisure, and water cooler.
Let's do. Let's throw another TV one out there.
Are you sure you don't want to do the movie one?
Let's do the movie one.
This is just for personal feelings.
Okay.
Which movie found Rambo teaming up with the Mujahideen rebels to rescue his former boss?
That's fantastic. It's Rambo 3.
And the answer is Rambo 3. Wow. I'm just so shocked we both got that, because, yes, it's Rambo 3.
Yes, it's Rambo 3. That was great.
Sorry. I saw the question and I had to. For the sake of the podcast, I had to ask the question.
Speaking of Rambo 3.
Yes.
I just saw a trailer last night. Now, I don't know if you're familiar what's been going on with the Mortal Kombat game franchise. Have you seen the newer games?
Somewhat. Last I heard, you're talking about the fact that Rambo is now a playable character?
John Rambo is now a playable character. He is voiced by Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
By the way, there are other major characters that have been added on Mortal Kombat.
So wait.
Yeah.
So wait, you can actually do the Arnie Stallone fight.
You can do the Arnie Stallone fight, and on top of that, RoboCop is also in the game, and Peter Weller is the voice of RoboCop.
Well, yeah.
However, they did not get Arnie for Terminator. Although, okay. Arnie did personally hand select who his voice actor was.
Okay.
So closest thing you could get is the guy who has the voice going, that's the one, that's the guy. And he sounds dead on accurate. Like, you wouldn't tell the difference if you weren't told that it wasn't him. So I was very, very impressed. But the extra characters, the DLC stuff that they've been doing is fantastic. Also, Warner Brothers has been developing Mortal Kombat since like Mortal Kombat 9 and has been knocking it out of the park. So it's the same guys that are doing the Injustice storylines. Same writers, same developers, same game engine. Are doing the Mortal Kombat story. So it's Injustice with all of the blood and fatalities, essentially.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. So anyways.
I think I downloaded one of them. I'll have to give it a whirl. All right, so that was the 80s. We're now onto our pop culture.
Yes.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
choose movie, TV, music, sports and games, buzz, or fad.
Let's do buzz.
Interesting. What did Michael Jackson dangle from his Berlin hotel balcony, shocking the crowd below?
I know this. Do you know this?
Yeah, it was one of his kids. Yeah, I think it was Blanket.
Was it
Prince?
I think it was
Prince Michael?
No, because Blanket was the youngest one. I think it was Prince Michael.
So okay, it was one of his kids.
It was one of his kids, yeah.
And I'm not sure. I don't remember which one, but it was one of them.
What is the answer? If it just say a baby?
The answer is his son.
Yeah.
And I'll take one of his kids as an appropriate answer for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
terrifying. I mean,
dude got a little freaky near the end. He was freaky already, but he got a little freakier near the end.
No, I mean, the kids, by the time he died, the kids were like, I think his oldest, which was his daughter, was like 12.
Yeah.
I think. So this is like way before that.
Yeah, long time before that.
Yeah.
All right. On to our music.
I think she writes for Rolling Stone magazine now. She's badass, actually.
You talking Paris?
Yeah.
She's an actress. She's a LGBTQ advocate. She's a model. She's directed some stuff. I think she's tried her hand at music as well. So like many children of celebrities, she's had an opportunity to kind of try everything that she's ever wanted to.
Oh, for sure.
Whether she's some of it she's good at, some of it she's not, she still gets the opportunity. I mean, you know, when your family's rich enough, you get the chance to do things like, you know, a music career and a TV show when you have talent only for selling things.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Paris Hilton. Anyway, our music question, you have, green question, orange question, yellow question.
Let's do orange question.
I'm glad you didn't do the, it doesn't matter.
Ask me this one after we get this official question in. I want to know.
Name the band whose 90s hard rock hit, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, features the lines, "Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage."
Boy, if there wasn't like an obvious clue that was the Smashing Pumpkins. If not, like, they give you all the clues, like three different clues in one line.
Yeah, it's definitely the Smashing Pumpkins, or as I like to call them, as you know, I like to make fun names for bands, Crushing Gourds.
Crushing
That's
gourds.
What I like to call them. Yes. But that is correct. Of course, it is the Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, I really didn't have to turn the card over. But
right.
this entire card, though, is kind of a joke card. What controversial 1991 Madonna video made its television debut on ABC's Nightline?
Would that be Express Yourself? Or would that be... I don't know that one.
That will probably be Like a Prayer.
Oh man, yeah, that's
no,
the bad one.
Neither one.
Which? Yeah, no. What controversial?
It's the worst one.
What?
Justify My Love.
They put that on. Did you say ABC?
ABC's Nightline.
Oh my
god!
It was
a nighttime news program. Yeah.
Justify. Okay, it was nighttime news, so it wasn't like prime time or anything like that. So these kids are watching.
Justify My
Love. All the kids were
in bed,
and it was on news.
Yeah, Justify My Love is the real controversial one, like the real controversial one. Okay, but the green question. This is a hard one, man. I don't know if you can get this one. What band's albums include Master of Puppets, Saint Anger, and Garage Days Revisited?
That's on that card?
That's on that card. I saw that, and I'm like, don't pick the green question. Don't pick the green question. And then I didn't even read the orange question. The second I started reading the orange question, that's when I said, oh, it doesn't really matter on this card. All right. Are we going to take a break in this episode? Are we going to take a break?
We could, or we could just keep going.
Or do you just want to keep playing through?
Fuck it. Let's just keep playing. I'm having fun.
Let's keep playing
through.
Let's
keep playing.
Right.
No break this time, man. We're just going.
What are we sitting at now? Look, from my score, it looks like you have 4, I have 5. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
James 5, Michael 4.
All righty, here we go. your 80s question, the life question, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, or water cooler?
Let's do 80s music. I'm loosest on 80s music.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. What band got its start when Dave Stewart and Paramore ended their romantic partnership, but not their musical one?
Sorry, man. You cut out. What was the... Say that again.
Okay. Sorry, again. What band got its start when Dave Stewart and his Paramore ended their romantic partnership, but not their musical one?
First off, I have to know who the hell Dave Stewart is, so let me...
No Googling.
No, I'm not Googling. I'm thinking. Smell that wood-burning smell?
Even this far away.
Yep. Okay, so... okay, you need to just... Okay, bear with me here. I've heard the term Paramore, but I'm not entirely positive what it is.
Person you're in love with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paramore, they didn't end. They ended their romantic relationship and started a band?
Well, they were in a band, kind of. They really hadn't gone anywhere with it. Actually, what I'm giving now is details tells you that I know exactly who this is.
Right.
I do. In a band, they hadn't gone anywhere with it. They were also together romantically. They ended their romantic partnership, but kept the band going.
And then the band kicked off?
Well, the band ended up having moderate success.
Okay. So it's a two-person band. Was it the Eurythmics?
Is that your answer?
Yes.
The answer, and my answer, by the way, is also the Eurythmics.
Oh, really?
And the answer is the Eurythmics. I gave you too much information.
Well, no, you didn't tell me. Like, I didn't know Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox were together. I didn't know that.
Well, it's actually, they were in a shed not long after their breakup, trying to write music, and wrote Sweet Dreams as a result of it. As a result of the emotions they were feeling from their breakup. Yeah, I know the story of that part of it, so that's why when I saw the name Dave Stewart, I was like, okay, I know exactly who this is, because I just happen to know about it. I'm actually a big Annie Lennox fan, so.
Yeah, I like the way the question was worded, too, because it didn't give away the answer, unless you knew that Dave Stewart was in the Eurythmics, which, who knows who's in the Eurythmics? You know Annie Lennox is in the Eurythmics, and that is a solid.
But I know Dave Stewart is in the Eurythmics too. But I'm one of the few people who
Right, exactly. So it's not giving away the question by talking about Dave. I thought that was great. Like, you had to know the answer in order to get the clue. That's cool. I like that.
I gave you too much information though. Damn it.
I don't think you did. I was like, I had to go through, okay, which one is a two-person, because technically speaking, like, I don't know. Assuming that I didn't know the rest of the members of Starship, okay, because there were only two members in Starship that were, and they were seeing each other, that could have been another
alternative, yeah.
So there's more than one option that I was considering, and that's where I was just like, wait, who would it have been? Cool, man.
All right, now we're on to the pop culture again.
Yeah,
movies, TV, music. Sports and games, buzz or fad?
Fad. Let's do fad.
Ni Tai Ka. So Ni Tai Ka.
Yes.
That's the phrase. Uh-huh. Means tickle me in what language? Remember, it is fad.
And this is from... No, this isn't 80s. This is pop culture.
This is just pop culture, yes.
I don't have a damn clue. It sounds like... I'm not trying to be offensive here, but it sounds like maybe Vietnamese.
Okay. My guess is the Furby language.
Oh my God! If that's what it is, if Full Metal Jacket didn't make it into into pop culture reference,
I get what you're saying there. Oh God, I feel bad because I get what you're saying there. All right, the actual answer is yes, Furbish. It's Furbish.
Man.
I just had a feeling with it being a fad, and it being some stupid little soundy thing, I was like, it has to be a Furby. It has to be, because like Tamagotchis didn't talk, they just beeped. So it has to be a freaking Furby.
Right.
Had a feeling.
No, that was good. Nice deduction there. I should have gone that direction.
All right, sir. Music scenic question. Green, orange, or yellow?
It's a green.
John Anderson, Rick Wakeman, and Steve Howe were all members of what 70s prog rock band?
I know the answer to this question flat out, so I'm going to give you a chance to answer it first.
I have no idea. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea.
Because I straight up know the answer to this question.
What is the answer to this question?
Okay, the answer to this question is yes. Steve Howe.
The answer to this question is yes.
Trevor Rabin, yeah. Bill Bruford. I know all them, man. That's one of my go-to bands.
I kind of knew that once I saw that it was a progressive rock band. As I was reading the question, I'm like, damn it, Mike's got this question, and I have no idea who the hell these people are. And that's a full. I know like two prog groups, and that's about it. And only one I can name, like two of the people that used to be in one of them, but because one of those two people is dead. So but yeah, and I can name the former drummer of another prog rock group. That's about as far as my knowledge of prog rock goes. All right, we're back to the 80s. Here we go. Life question. TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, or water cooler?
You know, let's go really far out and just say water cooler.
Interesting. What was the world's tallest building throughout the 80s?
The Empire State Building?
Is that your answer?
That would be my answer.
Your answer is Empire State. My answer is Sears Tower.
Ooh.
In Chicago. And the correct answer is Sears Tower.
Damn it. Here I was, about to catch up.
You were caught up, sir. The yes caught you up. Now you're behind again.
Actually, I'm seeing that you're two ahead of me.
Six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm two ahead now.
I was going to say, I think you got eight.
I got you with the Furbish one. The Furbish one brought
me. Yeah, Furbish is the one that knocked you forward pretty good.
Okay. All right, we're on pop culture now. Remember, it's just pop culture. Movies, TV, music, sports and games, buzz and fad.
Let's do sports and games. I'm going to give you one. We haven't even hit sports up yet.
What African country hosted the 1974 Ali Foreman Rumble in the Jungle?
Oh my goodness. African country.
What African country hosted the 1974 Ali Foreman Rumble in the Jungle? I'm guessing Kenya. I honestly don't know. I'm not a boxing fan.
I'm literally trying to go for probably like the richest country in Africa. And Kenya's pretty up there.
Nothing?
Yeah, let's go with Kenya.
Okay. Well, we both said Kenya, so either we stay, no matter what, we stay even in points.
Yeah.
So, Zaire.
Zaire. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, I that was one. I'm not a boxing fan.
I didn't know that. I mean, it would make sense they would call it that, but that's crazy.
All right. The music seen it. Green question, orange question, yellow question.
Yellow question.
For what mid 80s solo hit did David Lee Roth open his video by musing to himself? Now, if I could make a music video, I'd do it just like this.
Okay, I'm going to say California Girls.
That's going to be my answer too, because that's literally the only David Lee Roth song I know.
Well, okay, there was two. Now that I think about it, but I can't change my answer.
There's If you want to change your answer, you can, because I haven't read the actual answer yet. I've just said what mine is, which California Girls is literally the only song of his that I know.
Okay, the only other one that I could think of is Just a Gigolo.
Which one do you want it to be?
I'm going to go with Just a Gigolo.
All right. I remember that song now, but I'm still sticking with mine because it's the only one that came to my brain. And the answer is, Mike, you get a point.
Just a gigolo. That's what I was like, wait a minute. There's one where he's just like, he's getting lost in his imagination. I can't think of which one it was. And I wasn't sure that it was the California Girls one.
That's the only that was the only song that came to mind. When you said Just a Gigolo, I'm like, okay, I kind of remember that, but not enough. I'm sticking with my guns because this is the one I remember.
Yeah.
Because not a David Lee Roth fan here. All right, 80s question. You have to pick life, TV, movie, music, sports and leisure, or water cooler?
TV. We haven't had TV one in a while.
What PBS series was hosted by Gene Shalit, Vincent Price, and Diana Rigg?
What the hell?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hosted by Gene Shalit, Vincent Price, and Diana Rigg, and it was a PBS series?
Yeah.
I'll be real. That guides me. I can't tell whether or not that guy's be towards or away from Sesame Street. But I don't remember Sesame Street having dedicated hosts. The Muppet Show did.
The Muppet Show did, yes.
But the Muppet Show was ABC?
HBO.
The original Muppet Show was HBO?
It might have been. I thought so. In the 80s?
I thought it was network television.
It might have been, but it definitely wasn't
PBS. Muppet Show was pre-cable. Muppet Show was like 70s. Early 80s.
So my guess on this is Masterpiece Theater.
That is a really good guess. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to go with Sesame Street. Because I can't really take Masterpiece Theater, even though Vincent Price would make sense to host Masterpiece Theater.
And the answer is Mystery.
What the hell is that?
Something apparently neither one of us knew anything about.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to look it up, man. Vincent Price hosting a mystery show? That's dope.
All right. Pop culture.
All right.
Movies, TV, music, sports and games, buzz or fad?
Let's do TV again. The TV double whammy.
What is Samuel Powers' nickname?
Who the hell is Samuel Powers?
I have no idea.
Samuel Powers?
Yeah, I have no idea.
When the hell were these cards printed?
yeah, so I have nothing on that one. You have any thoughts on that one?
The $6 million man? I know it's not true, but I'm throwing it out there.
Yes, yeah, it's not him.
I figured a wrong guess is a higher chance than no guess
son
at all.
Of a cock knocker.
Why?
I feel so stupid.
Why?
Screech.
Wait, what?
Screech from freaking Saved by the Bell.
What was his name again?
Samuel Powers.
That was Screech's name in Saved by the Bell?
Yep, apparently.
Wow, they were going like straight up anti, like, wow, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I remember it now, but I remember like the principal calling him that, or teacher. Yeah, the principal, Mr. Belding. I remember him calling him Samuel Powers at different points.
Damn it.
Or Mr. Powers. Yes. All right. Well. Music seen it. Green question, orange question, yellow question.
Orange question.
You marry him, your father will condone you. Marry me, your father will disown you. Sang the Spin Doctors in what funky pop rock hit of the early 90s?
Hold on, I have to think. Two Princes.
My answer is also written down as Two Princes, and of course the answer is Two Princes.
Right.
Because we know our music.
Did you see that? There was a video that I shared. Spin Doctors did a quarantine live play of that.
And yeah, I'm shocked. He lost his voice a long time and wasn't able to sing, so he did pretty damn good.
He was kicking out. The whole band was fantastic. They were locked, dude. I loved it.
It was good.
Spin Doctors is one of those bands that you like. They're kind of almost a guilty pleasure because, like, as far as you hear all over the internet, especially, everybody fucking hates them. But Spin Doctors, they're good. They're really good.
I remember, when it comes to music, I have no guilty pleasures, sir. I will gladly admit my love of the Spice Girls.
Understood. Fully understood.
Fiona Apple was my jam. Just the first album. After the first album, she got really weird and experimental with her music, and maybe it was the drugs.
Nah, that first album is kicking.
Yeah, it's groovy and bluesy, and it's just, I mean, there's songs on there that are just amazing pieces of music. I'll even be the person to talk about my fanship of Debbie Gibson in her early years. Debbie Gibson was awesome. She wrote her own damn music. One of the youngest people to be awarded. I think actually was the youngest person to win awards for having written her own music.
Wow.
And it's catchy, you know, cheesy pop songs, but you throw in the Electric Youth album, I'm listening to that thing back to front, and I'm singing along even now. It's beautiful pop music. I have no shame admitting I love that. So, yeah, no guilty pleasure on my part. And Spin Doctors, hell yeah, they're groovy. They're fun.
Yeah.
I also have no shame in admitting the bands that I hate. I'm looking at you, Creed. I'm looking at you, Nickelback. All right. Here's our 80s question. So we have life, TV, movies, music. Sorry, the TV question stopped me. We can't do that one.
Okay.
Sports and leisure and water cooler.
So TV is not allowed. Let's do movies.
What fabled twosome returned to the big screen one last time for Back to the Beach?
What the hell is Back to the Beach? Like actual characters? Are they characters or are they actors?
No, the Back to the Beach would be the movie. So, what fabled twosome returned to the big screen one last time for Back to the Beach? Back to the Beach would be like the title of the movie, or at least part of the title of the movie. Maybe the whole title, maybe part of it.
What the hell?
I think I know this one.
Back to the Beach. What the? I don't know. Smokey and the Bandit? I have no idea.
Smokey is the Bandit? That's actually literally the title of the third one.
Smokey is the Bandit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. Okay. Smokey and the Bandit, I'm putting down as your answer.
Yeah.
The reason we couldn't do the TV one, which of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles had many of his scenes cut in Britain because his signature nunchucks were seen as too violent?
Right.
I can't ask you that one.
No.
That's just not right. So... The question we're answering is Fable yes. Twosome return to the big screen one last time for Back to the Beach. My answer is Frankie and Annette.
Who the hell are they?
Yes. Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello, and
shut
I was
the
right.
Fuck up. Okay, hold on. Those are actors and they said fictional twosome like they were characters.
Okay, you've heard of Beach Blanket Bingo, right? Like people discussing that, or that you do you know about the 50s and 60s beach blanket movies?
I had heard of them distantly. I wasn't really into them or knew anything about them.
The two main stars of those were Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello.
Oh.
Funicello was one of the original Mouseketeers and then was an actor. Frankie Avalon was a singer and an actor.
Oh.
This is a result of my dad being older than your dad and your mom. My dad being about 10 years older than I believe your parents are, because he's in his 70s at this point. He watched the old Mickey Mouse Club. And so, like, when I was a kid, I watched the original black and white Mickey Mouse Club. So he watched a lot of these beach blank movies, and this is like a trend in movies. And Frankie and Annette were basically the star of a whole bunch of them.
What the hell? Okay.
Yeah. That's why it was, when I saw it, I was like, as I was reading the question, I'm like, I think this is Frankie and Annette, because I've had that experience from.
Okay. I definitely was parents. Completely outside of that.
I was going to say, a true Gen Xer probably would have watched these movies from their parents watching them. Which is where my Gen X trending goes.
Gotcha. Okay. You know? If there's anything, like, my stepmom might have watched them way back, but even she was, like, not really into that.
Yeah. That was definitely keep in mind, even though my mom was roughly of an age with what your parents probably were.
Yeah.
My mother's things that she loved were still rooted back further in, 50s and 60s culture. Whereas, like, you know, she wasn't listening to any modern music when I was growing up, except for, like, Reba McEntire. That was literally the most modern thing that she listened to, which Reba was modern at that point. But everything else was, like, pre-1970. That she was listening to. A couple of 70s stuff thrown in there. But yeah, she wasn't listening to anything modern. The Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Which half of that is 1950s music.
Right.
And that's the thing is, like, one of her favorite things to listen to was, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
Okay.
She had that on a 45. And so I'm growing up listening to, all of these 50s and 60s bands, watching all of these movies that take place during that time period. So, yeah, it was kind of part of culture for me.
That's funny.
Anyway, on to the next question, sir. We're in our pop category, our pop culture category.
Yes.
Movies, TV, music, sports and games, buzz or fad?
Let's go with TV again.
Instead of money, what did Dennis Moore distribute to the poor on Monty Python's Flying Circus?
Oh my God. Was it fish? I don't even remember that sketch.
I have no idea. Are you guessing fish?
I'm guessing fish. It just seems like a Monty Python thing.
All right. The actual answer is, hold on, lupins.
Lupins?
Lupins.
What the hell's a lupin?
I have no idea.
Good. I feel accomplished.
You feel better?
Yeah.
that I don't even know what it is either.
What the hell is a lupin?
If James is confused, I don't feel so bad. All right, our music category, our music questions. Green, orange, or yellow?
Let's do a yellow one.
Oh, God. The video for Whitesnake's hit, Here I Go Again,
oh boy,
featured a model/actress slithering around sexily on the hood of a car. And a nip slip, by the way. She later married the group's lead singer. Name her.
Tawny Kitaen?
I am agreeing with you in that her name is Tawny Kitaen, but I'm going to give a chance for bonus points here.
Yes.
The answer is, of course, Tawny Kitaen.
Yes. Because
that is right. We both know this.
Yeah.
Bonus points. Who would her husband have been? Who did she marry?
The singer of Whitesnake?
Yes.
You know what? I, I don't know his name, but I do know that she ended up dating Sam Kinison after they got divorced.
Well, okay. I wasn't going to allow myself the bonus points because I'm asking the question with the answer.
Right.
I'll give you his name, and then I'll give you the opportunity for the second bonus point.
Okay.
Okay. His name was David Coverdale.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard that name.
Second bonus point. The lead singer of Led Zeppelin, Plant.
Yeah.
Had a nickname for David Coverdale. What was that nickname?
Oh God, I don't know.
He called him David Coversong.
David Coversong?
Because he felt that Coverdale was trying to basically ape his style of singing and performing and appearing and all of that.
Wow. Well, I wonder what he'd say about Greta Van Fleet at this point.
I mean, I don't think he cares anymore. although Greta Van Fleet did just release a new song. I don't know if you've heard it yet.
No.
Most people think it sounds more Rushy than Zep.
Shut up, I'm there. All right, I got to hear this shit. Yeah.
Yeah, no, once I heard it and heard that comparison, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, it does have a little bit of that kind of sound. Then I'm like, ah, damn, Mike's going to like him even more. Anyway. All right. This will be our... You want this to be our last or second to last?
Yeah, let's make it our last.
Our last round?
Yeah, let's make this the last round. We got a pretty good amount of time here.
All right, last round. So hold on, let's count up where we're at. We're at
last round of three, right?
Yes, sir. So if I have my count correct, you're sitting at 9 points, right?
Yep. And you, sir, should be at 11. Yep.
All right.
So far, we're being honest.
So you gotta be able to get all three of these questions right to beat me on this one, sir.
Oh man.
All right. Here we go. We have our 80s set. Life, TV, movie, music. Sports and leisure or water cooler?
Well, let's do music then.
What name was shared by the drummers for Duran Duran and Queen?
Like the full name or just their first name?
I don't know. It just says what name was shared. So maybe their first name, maybe that, but I think it's asking for the name.
I mean, both of that. Okay, so that has to be. Oh, it could be first or last name, though. I'm going to throw out there that it's Roger. Because I know Queen's drummer's name is Roger Taylor.
Okay, you're going to throw out Roger. I'm going to throw out Taylor. Because that's the only one that I knew, too. I don't know anything about Duran Duran, so I'd throw out the name Taylor. One of us is probably going to be right.
Okay.
So, I mean, one of us has to be right, right?
I would figure unless it's the name Roger Taylor... That means both of us would be right.
Okay. Well, here goes. The answer is... Shit, we're both right.
Roger Taylor. That's fantastic. Okay, no, I like that. I like that. Because the fact that both of us are right means that if I get the other two right and you get them wrong, we end in a tie.
Oh, damn. That's crazy.
That's fantastic.
All right, here's the pop culture card. Movie, TV, music, sports and games, buzz or fad?
Let's do movies.
What is the name of Jerry Maguire's only loyal client?
Man, all right, I just lost because the actor's name is Cuba Gooding, but I don't know his character's name. I know he's a football player. I haven't seen Jerry Maguire since it came out. So, shit.
Yeah, that's
unless it's some unless it's like he's a new client, but I think he's his only client. I got nothing on this one.
I'm throwing out a guess. Okay. I may be right with the guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Rod Tidwell.
Okay.
The answer is, oh shit, I was right.
Shut the fuck up. It was actually that name? How the hell did you pull that name out of your ass?
I'm just watch too many movies, man.
You can't guess a character's name out of nowhere.
I can, though. That's the problem. It's in there somewhere. It's in this brain somewhere. And I was like, Rod something. Stillwell? Tidwell? Yeah, Rod Tidwell. That sounds right.
You gotta that's be kidding me.
No, that's literally where my mind went.
That's nuts. Okay.
All right. I mean, it's
at this point, you win. Like, you win. But let's do one more. Let's do that. Let's finish the round.
But here's the finishing of the round.
Yeah.
The music question.
Yeah.
Green, orange, or yellow?
Let's do green.
Running on Empty, Doctor My Eyes, and The Pretender were all 70s hits for what Southern California singer-songwriter?
Oh, it's the singer-songwriter. Oh, which one of them wrote that? Oh, Jackson Brown.
And I have no idea.
I really don't have an answer to this.
Okay. I really don't have an answer to this. And your answer is the correct one. So, that ends it with Mike at 11 mm-hmm. and me at 13.
Yep.
Am I getting that right?
Yep. Ahead by two, sir.
Wow. That was, yeah, that one I had no idea about. I mean, I'm running the song through my, at least Running on Empty and Doctor My Eyes, I'm running them through my head and I'm going, whose voice is that? Whose voice is that?
Right.
I have no idea whose voice that is.
You hear the song in your head. As soon as you hear Running on Empty, you know the chorus.
Yeah.
You hear the piano, you hear the beat, like you hear all that. My stepdad's a huge Jackson Brown fan, so I knew that one was like, wait a minute, I know that name. And what's really funny is the first place that I went was the Eagles. Which I found out that the name of the band, the Eagles, is just Eagles, not the Eagles.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's Jackson Brown's associated with the Eagles. He's done songs with them. The most famous oh my goodness. Jackson like co-wrote some stuff with them. I think he co-wrote Desperado, and that's why he's on the album cover. But oh my gosh. It's another song on that record. Take It Easy. He had written Take It Easy, had half a song, and then gave it to Glenn Frey. And he's like, I got nothing on this second verse. Like, I've got the first verse and the chorus. He's all, you want this song? He's all, yeah, sure. And he wrote the second half, and that was it. And so he's on writing credits, but it's an Eagles song because Jackson Brown couldn't come up with the rest of it. And if you listen to it, it totally sounds like a Jackson Brown song. It has that same feel to it.
Yeah. Well, that's I was going Eagles with it and trying to think which one of the Eagles would have possibly written those songs. Because I'm thinking 70s and Southern California singer-songwriter. I'm like, which one of the Eagles might have done these songs?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not Don. I know that. It's not Glenn. So who the hell is it? And I was just trying to run it through my head and none of them were feeling right.
That's straight up where I went and I was like, Run on NMP. That's not the Eagles. That's Jackson. Jackson.
But it's funny that our for some of these questions that our parents and what we learned from our parents, what experiences we had from our parents helped us to do it. Like, again, I know the Frankie and Annette thing, that's just literally something that I had inundated with me as a kid. In fact, go back and watch Grease.
Yeah.
And listen to the song that Rizzo does, the Sandra Dee song.
Yeah.
She makes reference to it in there. Because again, it was a part of that culture, part of the 50s, 60s culture. But yeah, and the Sears Tower thing, by the way, that also came from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Answering Sears Tower is the tallest building.
Oh. Because
that's the building they're in and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yeah.
Of course.
But no, it's funny to see. This kind of shows where our influences have hit us and been able to, you know, some of the experiences that we had. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
And of course, again, it was a fun diversion to be able to do some trivia questions. And honestly, I think it was pretty well matched out. I mean, there was only a few things that were just, you know, kind of out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, some didn't make sense at all, but some were just some pretty lucky things. Than one really lucky guess of memory.
I still don't like. Wow.
I don't even. I mean, I've only seen Jerry Maguire one time all the way through. I don't like Tom Cruise unless he's like running somewhere. Just give me a movie where he's running. I'm cool.
So the Mission Impossible movies or
yeah, give me a movie where he's running. When he actually tries to do any acting, like he was the worst part of Vanilla Sky, which could be a great movie. The original, I think it was a Spanish film.
Yeah,
I was just a host. Great movie.
Yeah.
Vanilla Sky was like an attempt at making a great movie.
It was an English remake. It was like the shot for shot remake of Psycho. It was just entirely unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, it had a great role with Kurt Russell in it, who was surprised that he showed up there and had a really weird, understated but amazing part in it. But yeah, it's. Anytime he tries to get too serious, I mean, I like him in Tropic Thunder, where he's, you know, in a fat suit and playing some complete asshole movie executive, and he's just chewing scenery all around him.
Yeah, for sure.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful. He was originally supposed to play the part that Matthew McConaughey played in that movie, and then he's like, "No, I want to do this, and I want to be in a fat suit, and I want to go all the way down to my hands, so even my hands are fat," and then did all the dance stuff for it. And it's like. Okay, dude, you want to be funny? Be funny. And apparently he's got a really big thing about people who do different accents. It freaks him out to have people do accents, and he loves hearing them.
Oh, that's great.
But anyway, not just accents, but impressions of people, too. He loves when people can do impressions.
That's great.
Apparently it's something he cannot do. He does a Daffy Duck sound, but no, it's not Daffy Duck. It's Donald Duck. He does a Donald Duck sound.
Oh, cute.
I've seen him on like Graham Norton show, and he does impressions. Or he's sitting there watching other people do impressions, and he just cannot stop laughing. Cannot stop.
I remember there was one. There was one thing. I think it was like the MTV Movie Awards, one of those years. And it was right on the heels of like one of the Mission Impossible movies. And Tom Cruise was there. And I think he got an award for something. But Ben Stiller was one of the hosts. And Ben Stiller showed up dressed up as Tom Cruise.
Yeah. He does this Tom Cruise impersonation. And then for a while he was doing his Tom Cruise's stunt double or whatever.
Yeah.
that was good stuff.
Where he's sitting there standing and laughing with Tom while Tom's standing and laughing. He's just working straight off of him and Tom can't get enough of it.
Yeah. And I give Tom credit. He on certain things, he can laugh at himself.
Yeah.
And he can, as long as they don't have to do a Xenu, he's okay doing some laughing at himself. And that's all right. It's just whenever he tries to play anything too serious, it just doesn't really go over well with me. I just can't. I can't buy into it with him. It's just, I mean, he tried that whole Far and Away thing and doing the Irish accent in that years ago.
Oh,
and
I never heard that.
It was awful.
I'm sure. Did he lose his accent halfway through the movie like Leo DiCaprio?
No, he kept it through the movie. It just wasn't the best.
Okay.
But he was also working with some better actors, though. I mean, he had Nicole Kidman he was working with doing she augmented her Australian to be a mix between British and Irish, and she did pretty well with that. And then let's see, Thomas Gibson, who was in Darman and Greg, the TV series, and was in Criminal Minds for a number of years. He plays a British aristocrat. He pulls off the accent perfectly. And honestly, they're kind of the biggest actors in the movie. But he doesn't do too bad. It's just still not that good an Irish accent. But it's a really, I mean, sweeping, epic movie. Ron Howard at his late 80s, early 90s best. And nice. In his filmmaking, it's everything that that stupid Scorsese film could have been, but wasn't, because Scorsese directed it. And basically, it's a period piece that's still about gangsters. Because for some reason or another, Martin Scorsese can't really make a movie unless it's about gangsters. That's all he can do. He's a one-note pony, okay? I mean, that guy has no subtlety and no capability to do anything that's not just one note. Oh, look, this is a story about, you know, kids at school. Yeah, they're gangsters, I'll bet. Is there a vice around? We can crunch somebody's head in it. I mean, seriously. And I got to say, that film, by the way, Gangs of New York, and I mean, he even titled it that. I mean, it's very right. clear that it's about gangsters.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm going to make a period piece that's set in the Civil War. What's it going to be about? Gangsters? Of course it is. And the thing is, like, it's probably one of the least favorite movies that I have ever watched in my life. I absolutely hate that film. With a passion. And there's some great actors in there. Brendan Gleeson is in that movie. I love Brendan Gleeson in almost everything that he does, including the Mission Impossible 2 movie that he is in.
Huh.
But not in that movie. John C. Reilly. Oh, my God. I love him in everything. Not in that movie. Daniel Day-Lewis. I can't really say I love him in
everything. You don't like
Daniel
Day-Lewis.
He's way too damn method for me. I can't stand him. He can't act. He just methods. He doesn't really act. He just becomes something else. Learn how to act.
It's a certain they say level action, of you respect be, you to be that. The I, part. I bring it. I consider a certain level of respect to do that.
anyway. And then Cameron Diaz. Okay. I mean, I'll admit, there's one movie where Cameron Diaz plays a fairly serious role. And she's actually really, really good in it.
Monster?
And
Monster?
Cameron Diaz?
Oh my gosh, no, that wasn't Cameron Diaz. That was
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron, thank you. I'm so sorry.
I was thinking Being John Malkovich, the part that Cameron Diaz has in that.
Oh, wow, it's been a very long time since I've seen that, but she was fantastic.
Yeah, she's got that fuzzy brown, like...
Yeah.
Poof of hair, and she just looks awful for the majority of the movie, and she's a terrible, awful person in the movie, which basically everybody is, except for poor John Malkovich in that movie. It's like
right. Well, a few movies. Yeah, he's just like, what? I love person. That. I love the fact that John Malkovich is just like, what the fuck is happening to me? Why is this happening? The whole time.
And he's like, finally he gets to be in a movie where he's not the weird, creepy, strange guy. He's just
the
normal
one
guy.
Normal one. Yeah, he's the only normal one.
It's
I loved
like,
that.
Why of all the movies is that the one you get to be the normal guy? but that the guy I forget the name of the guy who wrote that movie, but that dude has like that dude's got a weird brain. His brain works on a different level than normal people. I'm not saying it's a good level. I'm just saying it's a
Was that a Gus Van Sant movie?
No, director was Jones, Spike Jones.
Oh. But,
the writer was somebody entirely different. I mean, you could teach a writing class on the way this guy writes screenplays because like he gets paid for one screenplay. Like he gives them an idea of what he's going to write and he gets paid for it. And then he writes a whole new screenplay about how he's writing the screenplay he was originally paid for and how he has discussions about the original screenplay with himself and writes a second self of himself into the second screenplay.
Good
and then
God.
Turns in the second screenplay for what he was paid for the first screenplay and says, no, this is the movie. Wait, no, you were writing the movie you were writing and we paid you for was the movie that these characters were writing. He goes, yeah, that's the movie. What? No. And then they make the movie.
And then they make it anyway.
And I believe they have Nicolas Cage play him. So, I mean, I don't think I'm even joking about that. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah. But anyway. Anyway, that's what we have for you today. Our trivia game turning into more interesting trivia, turning into, well, maybe some movies for you to watch. so Mike, where did people get to listen to this fun trivia day?
Well, you could be listening to us on our website, thezennialchronicles.com. Also, you can
check. Yeah, we have a website, bitches.
Yeah. You could also get to that website by typing zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, in case you need a shorthand. We've got it. Also, you could be listening to us on most of the podcast stations. We're on Spotify. We're on TuneIn. You can get us on Apple. You can get us on YouTube as well. We used to be on Google, but I think Google is ending, so they're going to YouTube. We're there already. So if you're... if you want to get the rest of our podcast or earlier stuff, go to our YouTube page or go to YouTube, search the Zennial Chronicles, and you can find us there.
We don't have a page yet.
Well, we have a YouTube page. Yeah, we just don't have a URL, a personal
one. We need the URL.
Okay. So one of the things in order to allow us to do that, if you guys could, if you guys are listening to us on any of these platforms, we would love to get a subscriber base so we have a main YouTube URL so that we could share that easily, because our entire archive of all of our podcasts in video form are on the site. Well, they're audio podcasts, but they're YouTube videos. I'll be honest, we don't have our ugly mugs on camera yet, except for one or two little videos there. But go to our YouTube page, please like this video if you're listening or watching this video, subscribe to it. And also, that's pretty much it. Like the video,
click the bell.
Subscribe, click the bell.
The bell.
And the when bell. You do subscribe, we're trying to reach 100 subscribers. So we're trying to reach 100 subscribers. So that way, that way when we do that, we actually can get a custom URL. So then we can say YouTube.com/ the Zennial Chronicles.
URLs are fun.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
Apparently he says they're important. And while you're there, while you're checking us out on YouTube, hopefully that's where you'll go. Take the time to also check out Mike's other two endeavors that are occupying his time right now and being posted on YouTube. We have Chronosode Games, a gaming channel where Mike and his wife are playing different video games. The original idea for it was, of course, to play video games in their chronological order of the story, not when the games came out, but the way the story is told, which they started doing with the Legend of Zelda series. Mm-hmm. But since it's October and they were feeling a little bit horror-inspired, they're doing Luigi's Mansion right now. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. It is starting with the first one. I mean, even the release games sometimes are their chronological order timeline-wise.
Check that out. Get a little bit of Halloween flavor in there.
Yeah.
And then also check out... Mike's other page, Ruling Note Music.
Yes.
This is a page where Mike gives you some tips for recording and then gives you some historical information on different bands, some background stuff we don't do here that he goes a little bit more in depth into. I believe this last week's episode, since of course the passing of the great Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Mike decided to do something regarding them. Did you do the Eruption part yet? I know we had talked about that in the last
I have not
video.
Recorded myself playing it yet. I have literally just picked up the guitar and taken a look at a video or two, but I've never actually sat and started fully playing it yet. I'm getting used to playing guitar again. Once in a while I'll pick something up just for the hell of it, but
I know that part of this video, because I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I saw a little bit about it. This is actually something very important in the music industry that Van Halen helped to kind of push for safety and security and for bands to be treated right by venues instead of venues taking kind of advantage of the bands. And so you can get some information from that. And by the way, kudos. I saw that some important professorial looking people want to use that video to help teach some some classes on how to do the contracts and whatnot the correct way. So kudos to you, sir.
Thank you. That's actually my live sound reinforcement professor from college.
I figured there was a connection.
And he just got his doctorate. So this guy saying that, like, he's got a doctorate in audio engineering. He's like, this is perfect. I want to use this for my class. Can I? I was like, hell yeah, you can use it. I'd be honored. And that was there really, really go. Cool. So, yeah.
Getting famous already. All right. I hope you all enjoyed. I hope you learned a few things. By the way, the movie, the crazy movie that I was just talking about, it is Nicolas Cage playing both the writer and the writer's supposedly playing the writer's brother, although the writer in real life does not have a brother. He created the brother for this script.
Good Lord.
It's a freaky movie. It's also a Spike Jonze film, but the movie is called Adaptation. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's cool.
If you've not seen it, see it and just realize that was in some dude's head.
That was
and
hilarious.
He had to make that come out of his head. And he chose, for some reason, they chose Nicolas Cage to make it come out of his head. So who knows what's going on in that place. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed. And see what kind of things we can talk about when we come back next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.